This is Selling It Like It Is. And now, here's your host, Stefan Levinsky.
Hey, this is Stefan Levinsky, Selling It Like It Is, as always. And today, for this episode, my guest is Troy Lanier. And if you're not familiar with dadlabs.com, even if you are not a recent dad or never going to be a dad, you need to go check them out. They have taken video marketing to the highest level. And Troy supervises all of the production, post-production, the technical stuff, the encoding. He helps write the stuff. He's the co-author of Filmmaking for Teens. He holds a degree in electrical engineering, which I don't think has anything to do with video marketing. In fact, master's in history has nothing to do with it. And if I remember correctly, he was a teacher before he became one of the preeminent video marketing or web video experts. Troy, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, good to be here.
So we are going to talk about, whatever we can fit in today about video marketing. But you've got one of the more interesting backgrounds and how you got into it. A lot of the times I'm speaking with these kind of geeks. They grew up as geeks. They've always been involved in computers and technology and so on and so forth, and somehow they've landed on some marketing trick, whiz-bangery, or whatever that we talk about. But you guys were teachers. Talk to me a little bit, Troy, about how you got where you are and a little bit about Dad Labs.
Well, you reviewed my history a minute ago in terms of, you know, I have a EE degree and I have a master's in history, but I think it's indicative that I'm now into video marketing and video production, online video, and it's an industry that's grown up in the past 3 or 4 years, and it's still being invented, so it's a great time to be involved in it. We wake up every day at Dad Labs. We're an online TV network for dads, and we wake up every day and we kind of do a survey of the industry. Like, our first hour of work is trying to figure out how did YouTube change its policies the night before in terms of online marketing and online video production and distribution. But all to the point of being that it's a really exciting time to be in it. Excuse me. Really exciting time to be in it, and it's changing nonstop. So what Dad Labs is we're an online TV channel for dads. We produce 4 videos a week. They all have their own distinct character. Some of them are educational. Some of them are informational in terms of gear and things new dads can buy. But they're all funny, and they're all watched and geared toward dads, even though moms sometimes peek in as well. And we have this elaborate distribution network. We have a destination website of our own, but we also distribute video out to, and it changes. We add one every day. In fact, this morning we've already added another one. But we have approximately 15 major networks that we go out to. A lot of bloggers pick us up as well. And we're on a thing called Gridcast, which allows IP-enabled game systems to show on TV, which a lot of people think is going to be the next one. The next place is to get onto the TV screen is through these IP-enabled game boxes.
For those of you for those of you who don't speak IP-enabled game box, let me tell you that means that Xbox 360 and PlayStation PS3, and at least Xbox 360 that I'm familiar with, allow you now to go into their internet-enabled portal, if you will, through the game box that your kids are playing at home, and they can start watching Dad Labs. Is that right? In addition, of course, to movies, for that matter.
Yeah, very much so, and we think that's, you know, a lot of families will have, and there's a certain demographic that will adopt that technology, but it's definitely one that if it fits your own marketing, you know, needs, then that's one you want to be involved in for sure.
Are you in mobile as well? Can I watch you on an iPhone?
We have an iPhone app, BlackBerry app coming out. You could watch us through iTunes. Podcast downloads. And basically, our philosophy is we're technology agnostic. We want the end viewer to watch us wherever he, and occasionally she, because we're dads, right? But if he wants to watch us. And since dads tend to be have their own particular technologies they like, you know, we don't want to say you have to come to dadlabs.com, although, of course, our destination website is where we will make the most concentrated, see the best concentrated results of our efforts.
I think it's a really key point that I want people, if you're taking notes, good for you. If you're not, get a pen and paper. That's why you should be listening. A key note there is do not distribute on a platform that you like. That's irrelevant. What's relevant is distributing content on as many platforms as possible, because each different individual or audience demographic has a preference. So if you're really looking to have penetration, don't say, well, I like such and such, or that's what I watch, because that's not relevant. Would you agree, Troy? That's kind of what you guys are practicing.
Oh, completely. Our philosophy was, I mean, we started out as a destination website and realized that, you know, it's better for us to get it as many places as possible. So we use a technology called TubeMogul, T-U-B-E-M-O-G-U-L. We upload one video, because we're a small shop. We have about six people in our shop. And we upload one video, therefore we don't have to sit around and wait for the video to upload to YouTube and to Yahoo and to some Facebook code like one of the Blip TV is one of our big ones. Rather than spending the bandwidth and the time to upload to all those places, we simply upload to TubeMogul. TubeMogul then turns around and distributes out to all those sites for us. And therefore, if somebody is a YouTube fan, that's where they hang out, and they're going to see our video on YouTube without us having to actually go to YouTube and upload it.
Awesome.
And then we have a channel that we manage on YouTube, but at the same time, that's really helpful. And TubeMogul gives great statistics in terms of what people are doing, how they're watching your videos, geographically, gender, age, the kind of stuff that TV people dreamed of doing and pretend, I don't mean to be so negative, they pretend to do, but online you can actually do it, which is amazing.
What you're alluding to is that in television, of course, we all know that there's Nielsen ratings, and really all those Nielsen ratings can tell you is that the television is on and it's set to a particular channel. It's very difficult to get, we don't know if they're walking away from the TV, we don't know the degree to what they're engaging, where you paint with a very broad brushstroke in terms of who's watching. Those demographics are not really that accurate. And online, you're able to get extremely granular, targeted, very granular, a tremendous amount of information per user, what they're doing, what they're not doing, and that's really why video marketing is so powerful. Now, we've kind of jumped to some really kind of advanced stuff because we're already talking about syndication and distribution. So what I'd like to do is back all the way up, and I wanted to kind of let people know that you guys really are at the top of that wave. You're at the forefront, and let me explain what I mean by that, ladies and gentlemen. We'll go back and explain how this all began, but you know, the video marketing was so successful for Dad Labs that at this point, you know, television is looking at working with them. Cable, major networks, et cetera, are starting to meet with Dad Labs because they were so good at it that now television has said, my God, you know, you need to be over here. So let's back up a little bit and talk about how this came to be, because you guys didn't say, hey, why don't we all get into online video? That seems to be where the action is. You guys were three teachers, three dads, talked a lot about dad issues and realized, hey, why don't we make a product for dads? And that dad was that product was a DVD. Is that right?
It was. It was a DVD. And, you know, like the final day of we were wrapping on the DVD and we had a crew available. So we said, hey, grab those strollers right there. Let's do a stroller review. So parents, and we'll focus on the web and see what happens. And we can use it to promote the DVD. And you know, people will like what they see, and they'll come and buy our DVD. You put that on the web, and all of a sudden you realize more people are watching that video than are buying the DVDs. And the DVD sales are decent, but they weren't, you know, out the roof like we had expected, although all of a sudden people are coming to our website to watch this one video. And so you make a few more. And then all of a sudden, boom, this idea came about that, hey, we could be an online TV channel for dads. I don't think we really realized day one that's what we were doing, because it was the early days of online video. But now we're at the point where we make four videos a week for dads. We have people who come to our site to watch those videos, and we embed advertising within those videos. That advertising is a very long tail because it goes out to all the sites we've talked about earlier. And then they're alive on the internet forever. And so that stroller video, which we made 2 or 3 years ago, still gets lots of traffic. And that was one of our first ones we did without any advertising embedded in it at all. It's simply us talking about strollers. But it still lives on the internet. People are still finding value in it. And that long tail is super important to us.
You know, one of the things that's really interesting is the fact that you produce four episodes, the fact that you distribute so much, if it wasn't being consumed, you wouldn't continue. So there is hunger, there is desire, there is consumption of this product that you're churning out. The people listening are probably thinking to themselves, you know, Stefan, I'm not interested in creating a show. I'm not trying to be an online TV guy. Heck, I'm not ever expecting to be contacted by TLC and compete with Kate Plus 8. So what I want them to understand, what's the point of this interview and why am I doing this for small business people? Because there are components to the success that Dad Labs has had that transcend business. They are the rules for successful video. So what I want you to understand is this is not a small business. They don't run a, you know, a catering shop or a car wash and they've used video to triple their business. They had a DVD they wanted to sell, realized that maybe we should create some teaser videos and if people get a taste, kind of like a deli case sample of the product, if they can get a taste of who we are and know, like, and trust us, maybe they'll buy our DVD. But they were so good, naturally, at creating these teasers that were really designed to just sell the darn DVD, that became the main product. So what can we learn from this? And what we're going to learn today is, what makes successful video? Why do people want to keep coming back? What are the tenets to that that can be applied to whether or not you run a dog walking company or a car wash or whatever? Because these are the main rules. And then I want to talk a little bit about some of these technologies and people that don't have any of this stuff. What's cheap? What can they buy? And some [S2] Sure. [S1] Of those things. So let's talk a little bit about humor and content and why. Because listen, there's millions and millions of videos, most of which I'd never watch a second time. And one of the things that I like to remind people when you're doing video marketing, if you're sending stuff to your database or inviting people to your website, if you don't follow some of the rules that you're going to talk about, then they're not going to come back. You don't watch a crappy show twice or three times. You just don't watch it again, and then it doesn't get picked up. That's why it's a pilot. So talk to us a little bit about, what do people engage with? How long are these videos? And what is it you're doing right that gets people to want more?
Yeah, there are four things I think that are really, really important to say. Number one, content is king. You know, if it's a boring video, people are going to punch out. And so everything else aside, you've got to have a decent message. And I think, in my opinion, that is, why is your product worth the purchase of the person watching the video? Why is it important to them? And to have your own personality come through that. So content's really important. Number two, most people would think, I would say number two would be image quality and the quality of what, you know, how does it look good? And I'm going to say that's not true. Number two is the quality of the audio, because that's the number one thing that distinguishes. So if you're a small business and you're going to go out and you want to make one video and you want to put it on the web and you want to it to be successful in terms of selling a product, number one, you would have really good content, like I said. But number two, you would have really good sound. And so making a small investment in a $100 microphone and using that for any other video, or even renting one for $20 a day to just shoot your own commercial, so to speak, since that's what you're doing, having that microphone will allow your users, because imagine right now this interview, if you're listening to me right now and all of a sudden, I'm going to do this on purpose, if all of a sudden I got really low, right? And if by getting really low and starting mumbling and you couldn't hear me, mm-hmm. You'd turn off this interview right now. So yeah. Sound is super important. And then I would go to video quality, and then I would go into ease of watching it, because there are different technologies that allow people to watch video. And what a lot of people will do is they'll put the video on their server, their own little website. You know, they have their own FTP, or they have their own way of uploading videos and having their own, however they're serving their video, that's where it is. But that's not the smartest thing to do. There are technologies, you know, like put it on YouTube and then take that YouTube embed code and put it on your own site and let YouTube handle all the tech. You as a small business don't have time to do that, so outsource that for free to YouTube and then put the YouTube back on your website. And then So, for instance, one of your users doesn't have the right Flash player, let YouTube deal with that stuff. You don't have to worry about it at that point.
That's a great point. And bandwidth is another issue. And if you're not paying for a certain amount of bandwidth, or if the hosting company you're using is kind of shaky, then the quality of that stream might be impacted. So there are some really top... We might as well just cover it now. There are some top companies. We know that YouTube is the 800-pound gorilla. There's the reason that you want to be on YouTube no matter what. It doesn't mean that you'll be using YouTube as necessarily your embed code provider. But I think you would probably tell me that no matter what, you want to be on YouTube, because that's where the eyeballs are. That's where the audience is. But you might choose to use Blip or Vidler or Vimeo or some others to be the actual provider of the embed code, that is the actual host of your video that you're going to display on your website. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. I think it really depends on your ultimate goal. Like for us, we made the decision to go with Blip as our embed code for our website. So if you go to dadlabs.com, you would not know you're watching a Blip feed. But really, we don't serve those videos off our own server that you watch at dialabs.com. Instead, we upload them to TubeMogul because it's our workflow, and I think it's salient to our conversation. So I upload a video to TubeMogul. It then sends it out to a bunch of places, including YouTube and Blip. We turn around, and then like another blogger would take our video and put it on his or her blog. We put the video on our website coming from Blip. You'd think that we would host it in-house, but we don't. And the reason we go with Blip is because their player is easily brandable. And so you won't see the word blip.tv on the player. You see the word Dad Labs on the player. Not only that, if that player was on someone else's blog, let's say some parenting blog picked up the fact that they really like Dad Labs stuff and they put one of our videos on their blog, when they click on Dad Labs inside that player, we want them to come to our website, not to Blip. And so Blip, to its credit, Blip allows us to put an HTML, you know, redirect to our site as opposed to our show page on Blip. And not so all. So long story short, the different players you get from different video aggregators like Blip or YouTube have different features, and you just need to decide which one is important for you when you put it in your own website.
When you talk about Blip allowing you to redirect to your site, and for those of you where, again, you're getting a little too overwhelmed technically, all this means is if you go to a blog, if you go to my blog, go to sellingitlikeitis.net, you'll notice that I'm lazy and don't like to actually create content like the guys at Dad Labs. And so often I will find content on YouTube like Mari Smith talking about Twitter hashtags, and I'll simply embed that video on my website because it's content relevant to my audience, and I didn't do anything. So, by the way, I really recommend that. However, if you click on the video on sellingitlikeitis.net after you're watching it or during, while you're watching, if you click through it, if you will, click right in the middle of it, it will bring you to YouTube. It will bring you to that page from which I got this. Okay, so wherever, whichever hosting account on YouTube that this is sitting on. And that's slightly problematic for me. That's not bringing them back to a site that I own or to a property I own, and it looks kind of cheesy. So what you're saying is at Blip, they allow you to go in there and simply make a small change to the code, if you will, and it's easy. You don't need to be a webmaster. And this allows them that if they were to click through, which they don't have to, but if they were to click through on any of these sites, it will come to your website, to Dad Labs, instead of going to Blip TV, yes?
Very much so, yeah. And you can change that, and you can change like the size of the player so that, let's say your local Chamber of Commerce wanted to do a highlight of you or something like that. You can give them a video, and they have a really big spot to put it on their website, whereas another blog wants a real small video. I mean, you can change the players through Blip. Another great thing about Blip is, and again, this is to their credit, I don't think they would think this is cheating by any means. One great thing about Blip is that they allow you to download the encoded video. And so you can download a QuickTime video from them, you can download a Flash video, and they do the Flash encoding for you. And so those videos are there for you to then pull off of Blip and put on your own computer, and then you can show them in a marketing meeting or something like that.
So let me ask you, is this particular, because as we know, you know, Vidler as an example is a good player, however their user policy is such that if they feel that what you've created is a commercial video, they'll likely pull it down unless you want to pay for Vidler's professional hosting. So with Blip, the ability for the redirect, the ability for, let's say for example, putting the Dad Labs brand on it and removing Blip TV, their brand, is that a professional account that you're paying for?
You know, we do pay for a professional account at Blip, and I think that the biggest thing for your listeners today would be to simply read the terms of service when you actually go to pick a provider. And the truth of the matter is YouTube is so huge that unless you're getting a million hits a month, you're going to fly under the radar, and it's going to be fine. And if YouTube would all of a sudden say, you can't do what you're doing on our site anymore, then change over to another one. We like Vidler a lot. We've had a great religious relationship with Vidler for a long time. This stuff does change on a weekly to monthly basis, not to scare your listeners, but you would want to keep an eye on the policy, and most likely they'll warn you if they've taken off some of your stuff. But a lot of people are doing this. Right now it's not considered black hatting or negative marketing. Instead, it's just kind of what happens.
Sure.
There will be a day when you have to actually pay for your own hosting of videos, I'm sure. But that day's not here right
now. I agree. I think that right now it's about building critical mass, and it's about just making kind of video on the web ubiquitous, which probably it already is, and for that matter, bringing you in as a user and then dumping enough of your stuff in their database that you don't want to go somewhere else. So if they all of a sudden say, by the way, we're going to start charging you, you know, Gmail, I've got 50 billion contacts in there. If Gmail said, by the way, we're going to start charging you a few bucks, am I really going to move? No.
Also treat it like a teaser. You could, let's say you owned a car wash and you want to publicize your car wash locally. You could have one of your best guys who's really good at doing rims or really good at, you know, wheels or something, and have him give a little lesson, and that's your advertisement right there. And then nobody's going to complain about that because you've actually, whatever site's hosting your video, that's a value add for them. All of a sudden you've given them a lesson. And so that's a way to, you know, kind of quietly get around that whole problem.
That's awesome. I love that. Let's talk a little bit as we wind down to the end here, and I really appreciate your time. Again, please go and take a look at the work that Troy is doing at dadlabs.com. And if you're not a new father, then maybe you'd like to recommend it to those new fathers and current fathers that could hear a man's point of view and voice about parenting. So what are some of the things I need to keep my eye on in terms of time of videos, keeping them within what time frame? We're not all great, you know, entertainers and educators like you guys are. And then maybe a little bit on the technical side. Let's say I don't have any equipment. Where should I be starting and how much should I be looking at budgeting?
Sure. The time and equipment, I can go a few different ways. The time of the video itself, keep them short. If that's one of the questions we should address, because there's a clear metrics that show that people tune out. I don't know if it's linear or exponential. I'd have to look back at the chart, but I was just looking at it today, and I think it's a TubeMogul white paper that you can get from TubeMogul that just it tells you that at minute one, this percentage of people are still there, at minute two, this percentage, and it drops off. So it has to be exponential drop-off. It's really rapid. In 3 minutes, they're pretty much gone at that point. You don't want, and plus, think of it like a commercial on television or something like that. Unless it has a huge value embedded in that video, and then people are willing to sit around. So just keep that in mind.
Right.
In terms of, I think the first question I get from almost all people is what camera do you use? And I can answer that question. We use an HVX, Panasonic HVX 200. Which is tapeless, and it puts video onto little cards. It's really great and efficient for us. But that's like a $3,000 or $4,000 camera, and you don't need that. The truth of the matter is, sometimes at Dad Labs, we also shoot with little Canon power, little Canon handheld digital cameras, and we go and shoot like home movies with those. And some of those little handhelds are fine. It's hard to hook a microphone up to them, like I mentioned earlier. So I think the technology should not be any sort of limiters. Use whatever camera you have. And there's a few tricks. Just make sure that the lighting is decent where you are and there's not a whole lot of loud noise in the background. And just use whatever camera you have. If you're actually thinking of bumping up your efforts a little bit and buying a camera, there's a few buzzwords. Three-chip camera is really nice. A camera that has an audio in so that you can hook up a microphone to it, pretty, pretty important because that will distinguish you among the crowd, some other people who are doing
it's actually critical. It really is. I did it without it, and the sound quality of picking up ambient noise and so forth it's not even worth it. I mean, so use a flip camera if you're going to pick up ambient noise. If you're going to do this, you have to get a camera that has at least a small, I don't know, is it called a 1/8 jack?
Well, yeah, two times. At least a 1/8, like the kind of your headphones, mm-hmm. that your headphones have. And that's probably the most common one. And there's a company called Audio Technica that will sell you a microphone for $100 specifically designed for those inputs. So you don't have to go out and buy a really high expensive one.
Love it.
So they have I can't remember the number on it. It's like the AT99, I think.
Right. Well,
In terms of that, and then editing,
yeah.
There's a bit of a barrier to entry there for some people because while Windows machines come with free editing software and Mac machines do too, again, you should use whatever you got. The hard part won't be the editing, I don't think. The hard part will be actually trying to figure out how to get it from your editor. Because editing basically is just taking, I like this shot, and you glue them together.
Right.
That's all that is. There's really, it's not rocket science. What is a little harder is trying to figure out how to get it from, once you glued them together and they're really high quality, then you have to get them from you to YouTube. And that's the hard part. And my little short 20-second lesson basically is simply export them at the highest resolution you can onto your own hard drive, and then upload them to and then you need to compress them. A lot of sites will only take files 100 megabytes or less.
Right.
Some sites will take files that are much bigger. And so if you keep it short and you have a small enough file size and high res, like a 640 by 360 file, then let TubeMogul do the compressing and let Yahoo and YouTube do all the compressing so you don't have to worry about that stuff. That'll probably be your biggest hill to get over, is to figure that part out.
So if you keep it, if you have it on the highest resolution, even ostensibly HD, if you buy a camera that's HD-enabled, if you're keeping this short, 2 minutes or less, 3 minutes at the outside, because you're likely not, you know, entertainers, those of you listening. And you don't, by the way, one of the key things that's really important here, guys, what they do at Dad Labs so well is be themselves. So they're not trying to be other people and broadcasters. They're not trying to be television personalities. And it's because of that that their authenticity comes through. It's because of that people connect with them. It's the same reason for those of you listening that people connect with you today. It's for who you are. So one of the things I'll tell you is don't get on a video and try to be somebody else or try to become a personality or try to be a whatever. Don't try anything. Just be who you are and be natural and talk about things that are going to be interesting to your audience, not to you. What else am I leaving out, Troy, as we wrap it up?
I would simply say don't let technology hold you back. Just use what you got, do it, and get it out there. And you'll find that no matter what you put up, video is more sticky than text or images. And so if you have video up and you find that people are liking it and watching it, you'll be motivated to do a new one. Our story was that we put up videos for months before we ever had a sponsor. And then we realized that tons of people were watching them. We ended up, let me just take 5 steps back. So we put up a video. People started to watch it. We put up 2. We put up 3. We revised our systems. We kind of joke a lot that watching our old videos is kind of like watching the Simpsons, early Simpsons, a little bit. but had we not put that first one up, you know, we wouldn't have seen the results. And so I can pretty much guarantee that your audience that if you stick one up there, you'll see the results, and it's really worth it.
And I'll share with you that those of you that the power of video, guys, is so much more powerful. I mean, if you take a look at what Dr. Barabian wrote about at UCLA in the late 70s or 80s, it was something to the effect of of what is heard, if you will, or listened to. Only 7% is the words you say, 38% is your tone of voice and your body language, and 55% is your facial expression. So, or something to that effect. You get my point. That 55% is the visual component of it, and 7% is your words, and 38% is the tone. So video brings all of that together. So obviously it's the highest level of interaction. It's the most accessible to getting to know, like, and trust you, which is what people ultimately lead to doing business with you. But those of you that can do everything, but you really get stopped at the technology, know this. Money solves everything. You go to elance.com or contractedwork.com or your local community college or your local university that might have a film school. You will find people that for $15 an hour all the way to $250 an hour, we'll edit your stuff for you. And for that matter, upload it to those accounts in TubeMogul and all that. So if you can just hit the record button, make sure that your sound is great. It's so key that Troy brought that up. It's the number two thing. Make sure your lighting is no shadows on you. So get the lighting down, get the sound down, hit the record button. And then if you need to, let somebody else make it look pretty and then upload it and distribute it. Well, that's all the time that we have today. I'm Stefan Lubinsky, as always, Selling It Like It Is. And I want to thank you so much, Troy Linear, for joining us here today. I want to recommend everybody to go and visit Troy and the gang at dadlabs.com. I'm not a dad. I enjoy watching it. Their latest episode where there's some tattooing involved. It was hilarious. One of the funniest ones. I know this is going to be a little racy, but type in circumcision and find their circumcision videos that they talked about. It's absolutely hysterical. Troy, thank you so much for joining us.
It was a pleasure, Stefan. Thank you for having me.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you next time. As always, I'm Selling It Like It Is. Do the same.
You've been listening to Selling It Like It Is. For more information about Stefan Lubinsky or to subscribe to this podcast, visit smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.